World Sport from the BBC with me, Steve Crossman. Coming up, it's the end of an era in Indian cricket.
President surges in, big bulky man bowls to drive it, he's got his 100, he just steered it down past third slip, he'll come back for the second run as Anderson retrieves the ball. Well played, Rahul Dravid. A fierce punch of the air with his bat. He has held India together on this tour, and this has been a masterly display of perfect technique against both quick bowling and sharp off-spin.
Yes, I'm afraid Rahul Dravid has retired. Also, we're live in Istanbul on day one of the World Indoors, and there's criticism of the Africa Cup of Nations from a leading Premier League club. Cricket first, though, and the news that we were expecting. The former Indian captain Rahul Dravid has announced his retirement from both international and domestic first-class cricket. He will continue to lead the Rajasthan Royals in this year's Indian Premier League, though. Only compatriot Sachin Tendulkar has scored more runs in Test cricket. Indian legend Sunil Gavaskar says he'll be sorely missed.
You really won't find anybody playing with the same technical virtuosity that you see with Rahul Dravid. Because, you know, today the tendency is to move the front foot out of the way and try and get a free swing of the bat, even in Test cricket. So I don't think you're going to get somebody as technically competent. You will always get good players because, you know, that's the nature of sport. But somebody who's going to be able to keep the good ball, the wicket-taking ball, out as effectively as Rahul Dravid used to do, I think that's going to be difficult to see.
Commentator Harsha Bogle says Dravid's retirement is the latest of a dying breed within Indian cricket.
Srinath went, then Kumble went, and then Ganguly. I think Lakshman might be coming close too. And then I think India will have to come to terms with the fact that that Tendulkar's best years are certainly behind him, and we might be looking at him in a reasonable short term. You never know, though. So I think he'll have to get used to him. And the fact that it's completely new India coming through. Remember, the newer Indian players coming through are all the products of post-liberalization India, a competitive India, a more worldly India, whereas the Dravids all had their influence in the main playing influence in the early 90s when Test cricket was supreme. The new generation may not be like that. So these might be the last of the two or three players in India to whom Test cricket was supreme.
Staying with cricket, from one great batsman to two more, Graham Smith and Jack Callis have put South Africa in control of the first test with New Zealand. At the end of day three, South Africa were 268 for three in their second innings. Brian Wadd reports from Dunedin.
Experience dominated the third day as Smith and Callis developed the partnership that moved the game from parity to advantage South Africa, and it should allow them to set a challenging target. After conceding a 35-run lead, South Africa soon had that deficit removed, losing two wickets before the champion pair demonstrated why they're rated so highly in the batting rankings. Smith's 24th Test 100 was patiently constructed and perfectly matched by the relaxed, unflustered Jacques Callis. His was a faultless 100 as he moved clear second behind Tendulkar on the list of Test century makers. With the second new ball just 9 overs old, New Zealand will need to make early inroads if they're to avoid a hefty last innings chase. The lead already stands at 233.
Well, you heard about Jacques Callis's century then. That's 42 Test match hundreds. He shared a double century stand with Captain Graham Smith, who says his teammate's achievement is quite outstanding.
It's quite incredible. It was wonderful to bat with, just to watch him go about his work. You know, South Africa needs to be really proud of that guy's achievements. You know, it's really special to have played with him for 9 or 10 years and to see how, you know, what a cricketer he is. So, you know, what's now 42 Test hundreds is a privilege, you know, and I think South Africans need to be proud of that.
Athletics now, and the last global championships before the Olympic Games are underway. The World Indoors began in Istanbul earlier on Friday. Lots to look forward to. Already, we've seen a return to international competition for the Olympic 800-metre champion Pamela Jalimo of Kenya. Only victory would guarantee her a place in the final. Your commentator is Ed Harry.
Is this the rebirth of Pamela Jalimo in the vest of Kenya? Jalimo leads then, rounding the final bend into this shortest of finishing straights. Jalimo's going to lap a runner from Palestine. Jalimo will come through. She's being challenged hard for the victory. She's beaten Pamela Jalimo.
And we can speak live to...
Hard for the victory. She's beaten Pamela Jalimo.
And we can speak live to Ed now. So Jalimo beaten in her heat. There's since been an anxious wait, Ed, to see if she'll feature in the final.
She will, Steve. The Kenyan's through as the fourth fastest overall of the six finalists. Jalimo, as I was saying there, had a lapped runner to avoid over the closing metres, and perhaps that hesitation cost her victory in her heat. But having run now only her second 800 metres ever indoors, the Olympic champion is into her first global final since Beijing. In the women's 3000 earlier, seeking an unprecedented fifth world indoor title in a row, Ethiopian world record holder Meseret Defar did the bare minimum to win her heat and progressed to the final later this weekend, her best time for the event almost 50 seconds quicker than today's. Kirani James became the youngest ever winner of a global 400 metre title at last year's World Championships in Daegu. Here, the still only 19-year-old Grenadian was the second fastest qualifier for this evening's semis, that behind Demetrius Pinder from the Bahamas. And we're still waiting to see sprint hurdles world gold medalist outdoors Sally Pearson make her championship debut here. Her winning time in Daegu last year was the quickest in the world for 20 years. So what can we expect when it'll be 60 metres and just the five barriers?
I don't really know how to compare it to indoors because I've only done one race and that was 3 years ago. So I have no idea how I'm going to go. I'm going out to the stadium this afternoon to have a look at it and get the feel of it. But at the same time, I really don't know what to expect. I'm just going to try and use it as a normal track and run up the hill, I guess, at the end and run into a mat. I don't know what to expect, but at the end of the day, it's just getting out of blocks and going over the hurdles. Just got to keep it simple and enjoy it.
And Jessica Ennis has already run up that hill today in the 60 metre hurdles for her. That was the start of the defence of her pentathlon title. She won the 60 hurdles. She was third in the high jump, and after two events, Ennis leads overall. The shot put's about to get underway to be followed by the long jump and the 800 metres.
Thanks, Ed. Let's go over to football now then, because one of Manchester City's key staff has said that the scheduling of the Africa Cup of Nations is wrong. Brian Marwood is the club's football administrator and saw the Touré brothers leave City in January to play for Ivory Coast. He's told the BBC he's particularly unhappy with the Africa Cup of Nations taking place in the middle of the English season.
I think we need to think very carefully about the calendar and in terms of how we're scheduling games. I mean, for instance, just recently, you had the African Cup of Nations, which is a bizarre situation that you're going to lose players through the season for, you know, up to 5 to 6 weeks. So that's wrong. That's completely wrong. Now, somebody somewhere has got to try and bring all these parties together and start thinking seriously about what we are putting our players through.
Now, two of Rangers' most senior players have agreed to take a 75% pay cut to try and help the Scottish champions through their current financial crisis. Stephen Whittaker and Stephen Naismith are both Scottish internationals, and they've made the decision to try and avoid job losses amongst the playing and backroom staff. More meetings will be held on Friday. Ricardo Teixeira has stepped down from his position at the top of Brazilian football. He's taking a break due to health problems. Teixeira is also the head of the 2014 World Cup organising committee, though he has left some of that work to the former international striker Ronaldo. Two of Asia's top teams, Japan and Australia, have been drawn together in the final round of qualifying for the 2014 World Cup. They're joined in Group B by Iraq, Jordan and Oman. Group A is made up of South Korea, Iran, Lebanon, Uzbekistan and 2022 host Qatar. The top two teams from each group will qualify for the final, while the two third place teams will play off for a further spot. And the Chicago Bulls' 8-game winning streak in basketball's NBA has been ended by the Orlando Magic, who beat the Bulls 29 points to 94 in Illinois. Dwight Howard was the star for the Magic, making 29 points, also scooping 18 rebounds. In Thursday's other game, defending champions Dallas Mavericks lost to the Phoenix Suns. Before we go, a reminder of our top story. Former Indian captain Rahul Dravid has announced his retirement from international and domestic first-class cricket. Only Sachin Tendulkar has scored more runs. That's the latest world sport.